CliffCentral.com.
All right, we're not even going to waste any time this Friday. Welcome to it. It is 20-something. We're going to change things up a little bit today. Let me start off by introducing myself, just another cool kid. My love monkeys are not around today, but, you know, we're still going to hold you down all the way, well, at least for about an hour. So, as we all know, June is Youth Month, and on the 16th of June, we commemorate what happened in 1976. But sometimes we don't lend enough thought to what happened after that. You know what I mean? On the day, the day, June 16, 76, a lot of things happened. We all know what happened. We are clear about that. But what happened on June 17th, June 18th, 19th, 20th? You know, can you imagine trying to live under those conditions? If you can't imagine, we actually have Pumi Mashego, who's going to help us out a little something, something right now. She sat down with royalty, Mr. I wouldn't say Mr., but King Bongani III, and they had a bit of a chat. So we sent out Pumi, and she sat down with him, and this is how it went.
Mangcabanga, the June 16, and having grown up in Soweto, and you hear that this whole thing started because young people were angry about their opportunity for education being limited.
But I'm going to come from another dimension.
Tell me.
I'll tell you.
Tell me. No, because I want to know.
I'm going to give you a foundation. You know, it might take more time.
Tell me that. Okay, tell me that foundation. Because I really want to know. How did we get, at that time, did you get 15-year-olds so fired up?
Give you that foundation.
About their education.
It will amaze you.
That they were willing to stand up.
I'll tell you how it was done.
Tell me about it. Tell me about
it. Tell you that?
Yes.
It's a long story.
I'm all ears. I'm all ears.
I never thought. You know, I wrote a book about the background of 6 days where I say Alex. So I gave the background. He says, "Hey, it's my retirement, my bro, man. I cannot say you have the cookies, man. I think it's a spontaneous, a spontaneous event. You can." It was not. So it was 16. No, okay. What happened was that I think you know the history of the arrival first. Usually, people talk about the arrival of 1652. No. The first people to arrive, it was during the 1487. That was the Portuguese who arrived here. Abu Dias, Abu Takama. These are the people who first came. And as they were coming, they started trading in Mozambique. They started trading in Mapungubwe. Nama China used to do that. But what was happening at that time, especially in the 15th, there were prisoners that were arrested in Holland. Now, these prisoners, they were notorious prisoners. Even the king did not want them in Holland. Who are those people? Abu Jan van Riebeeck and the other group that accompanied him. They were then sold to Dutch East Indian Company to go and work there. Intelligent, but criminals. I'm a fraudsters, you know. So they were then sent to work there. Now, when they arrived, before they arrived in the Cape, there was a ship that was wrecked trying to find its way to Mozambique. The waves, the current pushed them into the Cape. Very critical. When the ship was being restored, they saw this beautiful country. Then they went back to Holland. They said to their king, there's this country that we have discovered. No one is there. The king did not have an interest. What they then did, the very same criminals, they went to England. They formed partnership with the British. Now, at that time, remember, England was under what we call Industrial Revolution. They went to France. They came in as a joint venture. Now, why I'm talking about this, it then explains why they ended up fighting what we had later had, what we call the Anglo-Boer War. They had an agreement to say, this is how we're going to work together. That's why they first established their station in the Cape. Because of greed, they started fighting each other. They were then, the Dutch group was then forced inland. Because why? The Industrial Revolution, it made the other guys, that the English, more stronger. Because they had guns, they had all these things. They were then pushed inland. That's why we called the Voortrekker. They were then moving inside. Now the Afrikaners are the ones who started moving inside. As they were moving inside, they had what we call the wars. Yes, in the Cape, they did not just arrive as the way they came. Because the first time they came, the ship was wrecked. The second time they came, people were happy to see the very same faces. Little did they realize, Uguti, they were here to take the country. They started having what we call wars of resistance. The first wars of resistance was in the Cape. Abu Oshumaka, they tried to fight, but they could not. Why? Because they were fighting dividedly. As they were moving inside, fighting against the Dutch now, what happened was that the Dutch was also trying to establish their own republic, taking whatever they are moving from the Cape, they are moving inland, about what we called about Transvaal. They started fighting. That's why the Dutch people, when you ask them about their history, they will tell you they hate English-speaking people because of that background. Very critical. Up to today, all of them, they will tell you they are not comfortable with the English-speaking people because of that history. Because they are saying, according to their history, their families, most of the African-speaking, what we call the Dutch at that time, they had what they called their own Holocaust. Their families were killed, they were starved, they were put into concentration camps.
In Natal.
Yes. They fought for a long time. Now, as we were coming in, as they were coming in, rather, they started now establishing themselves. The British, they realized, no man, there's more wealth inside than concentrating on the Cape. They started now fighting. Those wars of resistance, the British, they defeated us because we were fighting dividedly. They then engaged with the Afrikaners, what we call the Dutch. They created what we call, later they met in Vereeniging, where they signed an agreement, what we call the Vereeniging Agreement, where they were now putting together what we call the Union of South Africa. I think it was 1906, before 1910. In 1910, they consolidated what we call the Union of South Africa. Now, the Union of South Africa excluded the African people. They then created their own. Now, what you see, the Union building, a lot of people, they say it's a centenary of what. To me, it does not represent me, that building. To me, I just see scars. I just see blood of our people being, those who were killed during the wars of resistance. The two domes that you see at the Union building, they represent the English and the Afrikaners. It does not represent me as the black person. So they then started, that's how they started now creating what we call the Union. When they say Union of themselves, excluding us. Then by that time, Pixliga Seme, together with Abu Tengu Chabavu, with the other leaders, started coming together. Because in the Cape also, I'd never talked about missionary schools. They introduced the missionary schools. Most of the leaders were sent to school. They went and studied the missionary schools. They went to England. They went to America. They came back. As people who are colonized, 100%, they are now continue the agenda of the very same people. Now, these are the same people now we want to choose as leaders. Now, remember, the formation of the ANC was founded on the very same principles that we are saying. Go and get the land that has been stolen. Restore the dignity of the Africans. It was not done. Up to today, they could not do it, the ANC. Because why? They deviated the program, their agenda. Now, what happened was that, as now the missionary schools, as I talk about, as they were now enforcing themselves, creating schools in the townships, the very same people who are coming from now, schools of these missionaries, they are creating their own schools. Now, all of us now are becoming what? Colonized, all of us. Because if you don't behave like a British, you are not civilized. You are mkheteni, you know, that is no, this word is uncivilized, is a kaba, you know. And then they started saying, no, they started doing away with our cultures, our traditions. They then embraced the British one. Now, mine is that they then created their own universities. They created our own. I'm coming to the foundation of June 16 now. Now, we were then referred from those missionary schools to those schools. Then they created what we call a bush university, especially the one that was in Teflop. It's called Bush University. It was called Bush University. This was meant for those people. Remember, before that, they, as they were doing it, they then created what we call Bantu education. They said, darkies must go and study that side.
On their own,
and they must not be taught a lot of things. They must be taught how the spanner is being handed over to a master, what we call Bobojan span. That's all they must know. And they must just learn to be a teacher, to become teachers. As they are teachers, they must go and teach other monkeys to understand how a Bobojan spanner is being handed over. Most of those becoming teachers, they were now in those universities. That is the university, Bush University. What happened was that the ANC was established in 1912, and then we had other organizations like the Colored People's Congress. We had other organizations like the Indian Congress. Now, the Indian Congress Foundation, it was founded before the ANC. Why it was founded? Because Gandhi was kicked out of a train. You know? People don't understand that. Gandhi was kicked out of a train because Gandhi did not want to be associated with black people. He bought a first-class ticket. They told him, no. There's no Indian, there's no black man who's going to be sitting in the first class. He was kicked out of the train. He then created what we call the Indian Congress in South Africa. Fine.
So was the conscientization then of all of these young students in the townships,
yes,
from the people who became teachers?
Now, before that, now, remember, these are the Bush University students. The list goes and on and on and on. These were now the students now who are being conscientized by our old timers in the townships. They created what we call, for you to be able to function, you create organizations like Christian youth organizations. Christians what, in the townships. Christians what, then you are then accepted. Then these old men, old women, started conscientizing these kids.
Youth alive.
Yes. They started now engaging with these kids. No, this is what you need to be fighting for. This education is wrong. Bantu education is wrong because of 1, 2, 3. Now, those students at the Bush University, they were now expelled because they started now demanding things that were not allowed at the university level. They were expelled, and they were later employed as teachers. Orlando High, you know.
Morris Isaacson.
Yes. Tefe. Now, these are the people now started conscientizing this youth. That's why at the age of 14, age of 15, age of 18 or 17, about 30, they were now understanding, because these were the very same students who were members of SASO at the Bush University. I was Steve Biko and them. They then created an organization called SASIM. It's very important to talk about this thing, because a lot of people they misinterpret history and say it was the EANC who started these things. It's not true. I'm saying it again, it was not the ANC, it was the influence of SASO. SASO was a black consciousness inclined organization. SASIM was also black consciousness inclined. All of us were members of that, young as we were. We were conscientized at what we call community walls. After school, we would meet as if we were artists. We were taught our traditions. We were told that we should be proud of being black. We were told how to write African poetry. Abo Eskiam Pahlele, you know, all of us, Abo Kwala, Abo Lefifi, we grew up together. We were then taught these things. You know, Abu Krinam Shop, I remember Krinam Shop in Alexander. We used to go to the women's hostel, Simlande, in the evening. We used to accompany her back. And then Krinam, the only poem that she used to recite, say no, black woman, when a young Afrikaner, a young boy or a young girl of an Afrikaner call you a girl, say no. That's what she used to recite. Only one poem always. But you know what, we're proud because she used to say that we used to give her the slot, she would recite that, you know. then, out of that, we used to discuss actually why are public toilets where Africans, they smelling in this manner. Is the frustration of apartheid, because those Afrikaner boys, they would frustrate and insult and clap our fathers, you know, at work, and their fathers, what they will do, they will end up being people who drink liquor to try and do away with the pain, and that frustration they will then go and misuse the toilet, and after that, that's why the abuse of our fathers to our mothers came from. Because that frustration, who would they take it off to? Absolutely. Absolutely. That's why, those are the scars of apartheid. And a lot of people don't understand why we have this situation today in South Africa. They want to say, no, it was there. No, we did not deal with that. Because what we needed to do is to debrief the society so that we are able to move away from that. Then we close that chapter. We did not close that chapter.
Recalibrate. So yes. Let's talk about that chapter.
Yes.
Let's talk. I think, you know, today in 2017, it marks 41 years.
Yes.
Since that June 16th,
yes.
Which for a lot of people,
yes.
is they look at it as a pivotal point,
yes.
because and we've come to understand that the push towards freedom, mm. really that was when the breaking point,
yes. very important,
was really tested,
yeah.
when the government mm. was really tested, but mm. it was also, and we all know the story of the images mm. that flooded the world.
Mm.
We were talking earlier with some of the young people here about the fact that before things could go viral, those images from the 16th, the 17th, the 18th, starting in Soweto and then spreading throughout the country, are what the world was suddenly let in into what was happening in the country. Take me back to, because you were the youth.
Yes.
You were those people,
yes.
in 41 years,
yes.
ago.
Yes.
Where were you at the time, and what were you busy with?
We were just young boys who were part of the cultural groups.
How old were you, Baba, that year?
I think I was 15 years. I was very young, 14, 15 somewhere, but conscientized.
And so today, Niavuga is 16? Yeah.
No. It was not spontaneous that way. No, it was not that way. It was a culmination, you know. As I said, you know, when I was giving you the preface. Now, remember, we were taught how wrong is this education, how wrong was Afrikaans, how wrong this language of the imperialists, how wrong, you know, for us to embrace this language. Suddenly, the Department of Education says Afrikaans is going to be a medium of instruction. No discussion, no preparation, no ground preparing, imposed. Now, what we then did was we created an organization that was led by Tsietsi Mashinini. Now, Tsietsi was not just a mistake. Tsietsi came from this background that I'm talking about. For him to be able to raise issues, he was prepared in those community halls. He was prepared in those discussions. So he was fit to stand up and say, I can lead this thing. Not him alone. Murphy Murobe. The key person also, it was Oprim Gwen. Very critical. Also a product of the Bush University. We were then conscientized of that to say we must fight against this thing. We can't allow this. If we allow this, it will be now the last stamp of colonialism. We must reject it. But by rejecting, it was not fighting like the way we were going to throw stones. We were going to organize and hand over a petition. Now the question is that how many schools there were in Soweto? How many schools were in Alexander, were in Tembisa? We said the best thing is, let us organize a task team, a committee. That committee then started engaging different leaders. Now, remember, before June 16, already I think it was Orlando West or Orlando...
Tefeni.
Already they were starting to kick this thing, to say, no, we can't allow this, we can't allow this. Then we said, you know what, let it not be only one school. Let it be all the schools. It must be properly coordinated. We were then told by our leaders that we must converge at Orlando Stadium. But unfortunately, we could not arrive there. They started shooting. They gave us a few minutes to disperse, trying to explain to them, no, we are not fighting. We are saying, away with Africans, to hell with Africans. We want to. Maybe they were intimidated by the boss. And then they told us, we give you a few seconds to disperse. Now, most of the leaders from Alexander also. Now, remember, Alexander was a center where we would have students who were studying Form 4, Form 5. Now, in Alexander, there was no Form 4, Form 5. It was only up to Form 3. They had all been Soweto. Now, in Soweto, when it started, when there was a shooting, now, where do you vent out the frustration?
This is the moment to then say, for those that are listening that don't know what Form 4 or Form 5 is.
What is Form 4 today?
Form 4 today is what is grade 11.
Yes.
So grade 11, grade 8.
Yes.
So in Alexander, there were no facilities. There
Absolutely.
Were no schools for grade 11 and grade 12.
Absolutely. Now, what they had to do, they go to Soweto or Tembisa, the nearest. But the most of the students in Alex would go to Soweto. Mm. They would take a bus in the morning and arrive and come back in the afternoon. That was the would do. So venting out that anger when they started shooting a tear gas, they started shooting. Actually, a lot of people say it was Hector Peterson. It was not the first victim, actually. It was Undlov. It was Undlov that the first person to be shot in that place in Soweto, not Hector Peterson. I don't know who made it Lokuza and Hector Peterson, but it became the center. But it was Undlov, Hector Undlov. You see, when you drive to Soweto, before you go to the wall or before you go to Hector Peterson, there's that small Anyana portion there. That person is the first person to be shot. Now history needs to be corrected.
Kumalo.
Yes. From there's something like a museum. Nyana. Mm. That's the first person to be shot. Not Ulokuza.
But so on the day, I think because we are clear, which the students had no intention
Absolutely.
Of engaging in any kind of violent struggle. We are clear, which the students... Today, we're going to march, we're going to hand over a memorandum, and we're going to disperse.
Yes.
And it's going to be peaceful, and as students are,
yes.
Any maliciousness to it. But on the day when you wake up, Exene, you're clear.
No, we're clear that we're going to march.
We're marching.
No, absolutely. But
we're not getting into a fight. This is not the day where people are dying.
But our parents were not going to tell them. That's what
they
agreed.
No.
We pretended as if we were going to go to school. Same uniform you'll wear. you carry old books. So if anything goes wrong, angeke ukwazi ukulahla incwadi zakho. You won't throw your books away.
Mm.
Just normal as every day, wake up, go to school. Then we converged.
Then in the mayhem. So I think, you know, the stories have become myth, Manji,
yes.
About that day, about those moments.
Yes.
But in the mayhem, so here you are in your 15-year-old self.
Hey, man.
in this mayhem
yes,
of
yes.
shooting and screaming and running and
yes.
and tear gas.
Yes.
In your 15-year-old mind.
Hey, angithi sesisconscious phela, sesishaya political consciousness. Leyo ukuthi
sine consciousness.
Asakami ke leso sikhathi mina mangina 14 15 asakami inywele sifaka ubuhlali thina yabo. Sifaka amadashiki thina. Sithi no thina sconscious sibamnyama thina. She's laughing at me. Athi la sasubala sibamba umshini.
Ya ngoba nama ngikamanga.
Ah no asakami vele thina. Besingakami. That was our signature.
Mm.
All of us used to wear dashikis.
And then the next day. The next day phela manje kune lockdown elokhini.
Yeah.
Police everywhere.
Yeah. Or after the shooting.
Yeah, ngi 17.
Absolutely. Yes.
After,
yes.
So ngi
yaquba, yaquba.
Ngi 16 everything went AWOL. It was
yes.
crazy.
Yes.
It's not what we
Now the same leadership layer iyasuka manje yaze yakuphi? Bacabanga ukuthi sesowethu kuya organizewa manje. The larger group goes to Alex now. Now it becomes a spiral now. It's very important. Move to Alex. Alex Jens, we meet at the stadium. You know, at the back of the stadium. Lape Alexander, Lape 12. Jens, bafuthu. Say, solo success. Sharp, sharp. Kwenzakalani, same thing. Kugqoka impahla zesikolo. Normal 13E, ilokuzana incwadi zakudala. Phuma lapha, sihlokoloza lapha eseko lapha. A15. Hayi abantwana bazilwa kahle esikoleni abazi. Kuyangena, we spread as if not singama student. A member, the leader of SASIM in Alex, he ascend the podium. Umangele manje principal ubani manje? Uthe awume kancane baba. Leso skadu, we don't say Amandla. Amandla is very late. We used to say black. Then they will respond, power. Then Toto Skosan, his name, he ascends now. He says, black, power. Then he gives the Lokuza, the marching order. We're going to go out here. Move from here. We go to Povet. That is down 16. 16, we go up. Slander the higher primary. That is the Baibizane Pulusho. We move up. We gather all the students. Lander Le Colored School. The other group broke away at 6. Ilande E. God, in what we would refer as the Presbyterian. Lape 6. Volanda. The purpose again, it is not to fight again, is to gather them at the stadium so that we hand over the memorandum. Fika ke mina ke ngisasemncane ke ienga yami ke First Avenue nayi police violent yeza ayi ngidobhilitshe ngithi nazi lezi nja I'm in the forefront of the march.
15 years.
Absolutely. I'm in the forefront of the match. I'm the first person, if you can check in Alex also, when you look at that book, it's called The Decade of Democracy. I'm the first person who throw the stone in Alex. Boom! We screen. Boom! I'm a poison. I'm a punai too. Bakupu gabaye, a Wynberg police station. I was tall, man. Now, where do they find us, these people? Now? They find us at the Pier Hall at 3rd Avenue. We disperse. The 6 of us, the same group of SASIM, we hide somewhere in the church. We don't know how we went into that church. We see one guy, Opa, You know, my grandmother, I used to visit a lot Deep Kloof, you see. So we would meet in Deep Kloof. So silapha sonke sisifihle lapha esontweni. Now there's a beer hall, a 7 Avenue. Now we, you know, I mean, we're sitting there. No, what is the next move? No, let's burn this beer hall, you know. Then we, the six of us came out. There was no body. We don't know where people came from. They were looting liquor. The six of us also, we went down, Alex. What is that street called? In those days, it was called Hofmeyr. Roosevelt, yeah, Roosevelt. We went down. Now, this is the 18th, ne? Of June. Then, Alex, people create what we call the battlefield. Now, this is most important in the history of June 16. They had that battlefield for more than 2 days. Fighting, it became a battlefield from 12th Avenue in Senkopan. What is Senkopan today? It was the welfare offices of a government. Up to 8th Avenue. Confrontation Namapuno. Day and night, people were fighting. Now, about June, July, then kuno munyu baba Alexander, Soweto also. Now, Tsietsi, I don't know if you know that Tsietsi, we used to hang around in Alex. And a lot of people don't know. When he left Soweto, he fired Alex. Why he fired Alex? He had a cousin in Alex. He had also a cousin, brother, Upani Mukhatle. Now, Upani lives in Alexander Township. Now, that group then comes to Alex, sleeps in Alex in the night. They were being looked for.
Because you can't look for anyone in Alex.
Absolutely. You must look for that group. They started organizing. Now, Kerisi Akule then becomes the key organizer of the transport for the youth to leave for Swaziland, to leave for Botswana. Now, that group then goes to exile. Now, in Botswana, they become now this core leadership. It's in Botswana now. Lot of students from different angles. Now, it continues. 18, 19, it goes to Tembisa.
Here's what I want to know, and this, you know, from all of the people that we've ever spoken to, at least, is you guys did not have cell phones.
No, right? Yes.
So
yes.
You're not Snapchatting
it's
each other.
It's a word of mouth.
You're not getting. Yes. You're not Snapchatting each yes. other and telling people. But
yeah, just you know,
a complete and the wave yes. swept the country.
Yes.
When I listened to my aunt
and
tell the
story, you know?
Tell the stories of them in they at the time were. What's the school? Varsity in Natal.
Yes.
Right?
Abongoye.
Basongoye.
Yes.
At the time.
Yes.
But Nasongoye, the police arrived on the campus. Everything
but,
was
but,
chaos.
But remember,
and they didn't know what was happening.
But remember those communal or those community groupings
mm-hmm.
that I spoke about earlier on. Now, these are guys now who are meeting ngabo in Magvalu Ikolo. They meet, we discuss. Salema Konens had discussed. Now they take the very same word of man. Would know say Kalila, I say Unja, say Suilinja, Nala Saikal. Nala Baikale Tembisa, Nala Baikala, Ube Eastern Cape, Nala Baikale Western Cape. Now who are those? These are people who went to the boarding schools. Very critical. They went to the boarding schools.
Mm-hmm.
Now these are critical leaders. You know, I was talking to one guy who picked me up at the airport when he was asking me. my name. I told him. He says, "Hey man, your name sounds familiar." I then ask him, "Where do you come from?" He says, "I'm from Petersburg." You know, is it? I said, "Oh, Petersburg." And then I ask him, "Do you know Scotch Carr?" He says, "Hey, that man was our leader." I said, "No, Scotch Carr is my brother." He says, "Yeah, you know what he used to do? Nakam also way to Mutole." Then he became our leader, man, because we used to talk about these things. And then now often you prove your point in Alakon, Utaisa, now organize the group, now organize the group. So that's how, and you know what, a word of mouth. And let me tell you, we would pretend as if we are a soccer team, like a stadium. It's a meeting. Now that group would then say, "Okay, mina ngoba ngifunde Tembisa, then mangifika lapha Sanyova." It's okay, the word Sanyova came very late, but Sanyova lapha. Nalo uthi hayi mina ngiyahamba ke ngoba ngiyakuphi nalapha. No. I'm covered. So all of us used to spread like that. That's what used to happen. Now most of the gang then went to exile. Now that group in exile, it met. Now this is very critical. They then met in Botswana to reaffirm the leadership. Now as they were reaffirming this, now there's one thing that they overlooked. They did not want to do anything with the ANC. They did not want to do anything with the PAC.
Why not?
That was their biggest downfall.
Why not? Why?
Because they thought, they know nothing, and you know, they could not eat that ignorance. You see, they could not fight for us. So Runa Rituanete, and therefore we'll create our own military wing. We'll create our own forces. They then had, you know, themselves, Utuena, you know, you'll be the chief representative of, you know, our structure in Nigeria. Where now you'll be where in London. Nagitaba mang mango kai kai.
Okay, tell me this. CAT at the time was 17 years old.
Yes. We played a very important role.
You are running away from home. You are running away from home.
Yes.
And you don't even know who to yapi.
Yes.
You are being chased down by the state.
Yes.
So you're not just Njie being chased down by Pumelele with, you know, the state is chasing you down.
Yes.
And you arrive in a country, Botswana.
Yes.
You know who?
Nobody.
Where do you go when arrive at 17, 15, 18 years old and you are a group of youngsters from South Africa, you arrive in Botswana. Where do you arrive to? Yes, Maufiga somewhere, like a Park Station.
Yes.
You at least know that, okay, now I'm in Park Station and I'm going to wait for Umamkulu or something.
Yes.
When you arrive in Botswana.
Let me tell you what happened. Nah?
Who do you know?
Now, you remember I spoke about Kerry Siyatlula before, ne?
Mm.
Then there's also Winnie Mandela, ne? There's also other people who are linking you now with embassies. Now, absolutely, it's very critical. Now, when, like, you know, for example, when the group about it, Winnie was very crucial, Mandela. She played a very important role in making sure that everything is taken care of. They ended up in England. I don't know if you know the story.
Mm.
That was the biggest mistake again. For them to come back to Africa, Nigerian government also played a very...
So take me through the process.
Yes,
so then they arrived first through Botswana.
Yes.
And then off to England.
Another group went via Swaziland.
Okay.
Yes. And then they started trying to go to somewhere where they are safe.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the first port of call, if I may put it that way, is England. Now they arrive in England.
At whose embassy in England?
No. They are now taken into a home.
Yeah.
Because now this was properly coordinated by Abu Winnie Mandela.
Okay.
They arrive in England. Now that's where now they are saying, okay, Abu Khoso Siyatlula, all of them. They are now saying, okay, now this is who we are now. Where now Uzoba is chief representative, meaning you represent us in this particular country. They start spreading the wing, looking for military support, looking for logistics to engage, because now they think now they are the force now.
They think that they are the...
We have arrived now. And it did not work that way. It did not work that way. Now the ANC accept them in London. The ANC says, no problem. So niggas in the bavuma no sahlala. The ANC then try to conscientize them to be members of the ANC. I have a phone, labafana, but nana has phone tin. The incident kicks them out of their houses. Now they become independent. Now that question, Ongbuzo, Bayanza and Baba Ngane manje. They now have to look for Nigerian. There was a lady, I just forgotten about her name. She played a very important role in those leaders. Now they then organize. No, they can come and stay in Nigeria. Now Nigeria becomes the key headquarters. The PLO then says, no, we'll train them. Obasanjo plays a very critical role also. The current Obasanjo. He says, no, let's assist these young boys so that they must fight. But later, the ANC is very strong in exile. The PAC was very strong, but not strong like these ones, because these ones were like towing the line. What is the line? The line of the West. And therefore, they would make sure that they take care of them, you see. So they started now overshadowing these guys. They started now, the CIA also infiltrates the youth at that time. They started saying, why TAT is marrying that woman from Liberia? Miriam Makeba also plays a very role, important role, assisting this youth. You know, if we forget her name, it will be wrong, you know. History will judge me. She plays a very crucial role. Sokoto plays a very important role. Those countries now, they try to come together and says, how best can we assist these young chaps? Then TAT becomes, now TAT meets this young beautiful woman at Makeba's house. Then they says, never. How can you marry from outside? You must marry inside. We've got the revolution. Then they started fighting amongst each other. Yeah, we are fighting. We're now funuk chata. Then they started fighting now. Then the whole group then reaffirms Khoso Siyatlula. Then Khoso Siyatlula is now lured into a tribe also. There's a group that arrives in exile. That was sent, I think it's a Christian body, what. Khoso wants to infiltrate this group. He wants to come back to South Africa now. To come and reorganize structures inside the country. Because no one is talking about black consciousness anymore. No one's talking about SASIM anymore. Then he comes in.
What does SASIM stand for?
It's a South African, it's more like Azanian student movement. Very critical. So he wants to come and reorganize. Then he goes to Soweto. In the group, they arrest him.
Zobosh.
Now he's now the president of the board. He's now arrested.
Oh.
Then there was another group again. Now that was left inside the country. Now, the one of exile, I think I've spoken about them. Then there was another group that did not go to exile. Now, after 76, there was a lull again. Lull in terms of structures. How do we reorganize? Which organization, which structure are we going to use? Are we still going to talk about SASIM again? No. What do we do? Cultural structures, those communal centers again are now reused again. Now we've got Tabo Africa, my beginning Africa. We are now conscientizing the people. Africa, my ending.
I did that poem. Someone
you did
it out loud.
You know, I mean, I grew up with those guys. You know, we grew up together. We grew up together. Even when we meet, we talk. Hey, boot, what's happening? But we grew up together.
So today, speaking of growing up,
yes,
today. 41 years later,
yes,
a lot has since happened, a lot has transpired, and
yes,
I think that there's plenty of literature and
yes,
plenty of experience.
And we used to read stuff right after that. Wow, I miss those days.
and I think plenty of experience that young people today have,
yes,
and they are unhappy,
yes,
about what has happened, what,
yes,
has grown, what has not happened,
yes,
as well. And we see a lot of this agitation, mm, amongst young people,
yes,
in the universities, talking,
yes,
about,
yes,
that's what Roads Must Fall is about,
yes,
you know, the decolonization.
Absolutely.
Of the curricula, fees must fall, and, mm, the access to education for young people,
mm,
and we see a lot of that resurgence of the fire of youth. Because I think that's the one thing we know about young people is they have fire. And you are now an adult.
Hey.
Do you look back and think that in any way your generation has failed today's youngsters?
Let me explain this thing. I think you're asking a very sensitive question, no?
Yeah.
Very sensitive, no? Okay. I don't think we've failed. The question is, how was the very same structures were infiltrated? Now remember, when we arrive in exile, as I said, I'll just talk about how the ANC wanted to lure us in, how the PAC. Now, a lot of the youth who went to exile, they ended up in the ANC camps. All of them. The majority of them, they went to PAC, but majority went to the ANC camps. They created what we call June 16 detachment. And most of those children were not politically matured, if you remember. They were then told how the ANC structures were, how best can they take off their education, how best can they train them so they go and fight. Now, the ANC also was caught with their pants down. Because now, after 1960, there's another group as the youth that went to exile, that trained in Congo, that trained in Odessa. They were not fighting. Remember, there was 1967, the Wangispolilo campaign. Now there's this youth now who are coming. There is no camp for them. They go to Angola. They look for engineering. They in Angola, the Angolan government, I think it's got 1 year free from the Portuguese rule. Then they organize them. Then they take them to the southern part of Angola. It's called Benguela. You know, they start training there in Nova Katanga. You know, these are the youth. Now, these are the youth now who are now being kept in the camps, né? Frustrated as they were. They become heads of the camp. Some of them, they are sent to Lusaka, Abu Chegislebe, all those people. Né? Now, what is happening now? The agenda is now deviated. It's diverted, that agenda of 1976, of saying we must fight for a better education. Now remember, as I'm saying this thing, because if you look back to what I'm saying, the focus was no more on that. Township, there was no structures again. These guys, they are in exile now. And what is happening in exile? They are not being prepared to come and fight and continue to push the morale of the people. It's just a certain group that was then created, what we call the urban machinery from Soweto, the rural machineries from Abo Panim Lukwani from Soweto. I think it comes from Tladio somewhere there. Now these are the guys now starting bombing Abo Sasol, Abo Fort Trekker. But the key issue, education is not looked at. They are now sent to different countries. When they arrive at the ANC camps, you know what they will do? They say, do you want to go to school or do you want to train as a military? They give you two options. And most of them went to school. Most of them went to the camps. They came back to South Africa as these
so
adults.
So their agenda of a better education was met. And when their agenda was met,
now the people left behind, nobody thought about them anymore. You see? Now, what we were supposed to have done, remember in the 80s, there was another program that was very crucial in the 80s. Ne? That symposium that met, that national education crisis, you remember? What happened to those resolutions? Because if we would have looked at those resolutions, and also the same resolutions of 1976, I don't think we'd have the type of system of education that we're having today in South Africa. Also, in Holland, in Holland, the epitome of the colonizers, we met in 1987. There was a symposium also, a cultural symposium. We were invited also, hosted by the ANC, Culture in Another South Africa. But what happened to those resolutions? They were not implemented. So that's why you find these problems today. And now, remember, when Mandela went, you know, I researched, then I put a document that is called Liberation Heritage Route Framework. You'd know why Mandela went to attend that PAMFCA conference in Addis Ababa, and why Mandela was moving around those African countries. He was moving around to gain support against the Pan-Africanist Congress. I don't know if you know that.
I'm going to not engage on that one.
But I'm saying those are the things.
But
if you can look
at
from that foundation, you'll understand that the program of the day today, it was make sure that what the PAC is looking for, the PAC must never achieve that. We must divert what? The program of the day. That's why all of us in the townships today, you'd see kids in every corner, they're uneducated. And for this government today, it serves them very well, because the more they are uneducated, the more they are ignorant, it is better for them.
And I'm going to use this moment to ask these two gorgeous young ladies if they have questions.
Yes.
Because we're going to run out of time. So do you want to ask questions, girls? Okay, Amanda first. Use this mic. Because... Yeah, use that one.
The question I'm wanting to ask is, if Hector Peterson wasn't the first person to be shot, why do we not know about the first person? Why did the first person not become, not an idol, but as well known as we know about Hector Peterson?
Who?
Because us knowing in school, I took history and I'm really into history. I mean, my gran used to work for David Klatso. So during that time, she actually saw most of these things. And, I mean, she saw the recorder when Steve Biko was killed and all of that. And I thought, knowing from school, that Hector Peterson was the first person to be killed.
He was not. The question is, who took photos before? The question is, who was there when the shooting was there? Nzima is the one who took the photos of Lokuzana, of Hector Peterson. Hexton Lovu, no one was there, but is the first person we all know in Soweto. Even if you can go to Soweto there, you'd see that's the first person to be shot. But also, lastly, who controls the media? Very critical. For example, they'll tell you that Mandela is the main person in the ANC, and Mandela is the icon of the world. Of who? Mandela never formed the ANC. And when you compare the two between Mandela and Oliver Tambo is more stronger than Mandela. But because he saved their soul, that's why he would be the key person for them. So in the media, they will do that. Hector Peterson is not the first person.
I think for me, one of the most amazing and one of my favorite proverbs, African proverbs, is about until the lion tells the story of the hunt.
Absolutely.
It will always glorify the hunter.
Now before we close, I want to recorrect also other things here. Organizations banned on 19 October 1977, the aftermath of June 16th. One, Black People's Convention, BPC. Two, South African Student Organization, SASO. South African Student Movement, SASIM, Union of Black Journalists, Black Community Programs Limited, BCP, Black Parents Association, ABUWINI, I think you remember that, Border Youth Organization, Soweto Student Representative Council, African Social Education and Cultural Education, ASECA, Black Women's Federation, National Youth Organization, Eastern Province Youth Organization, MIDUPE Writers Association, Natal Youth Organization, ABUKWALALA, Transvaal Youth Organization, Western Cape Youth Organization, Zimele Trust Fund, Siyazinqeda Trust Fund. Now, those were black consciousness orientated. There was no ANC there. There was no broader nationalism of the ANC.
And those organizations became banned.
Absolutely.
To be a member of that organization meant you could go to prison.
Absolutely.
Can you?
Okay. With regard to So I see, I'm hearing you right now, and I see that you're very outspoken about the wrongs that the ANC has done in not helping the South African people today. So I'd like to ask, what happened to the people who knew what the ANC was doing wrong, were in the party, mm-hmm. and they said, no, guys, this isn't okay. What's happening now? What happened to those?
They don't want them in the ANC. They will just make sure that they put them in the corner, and they will never see the light in the day. I am one of them. I'm 41 years in the ANC. They will never deploy me anywhere because they say this one always talks the truth. We don't exist. At the tender age, I was in Robben Island. At the tender age, I was in the armed struggle. No one, if we can call those people that are in the top echelon of the ANC today, except Abu Zuma Boban, you'd see out of the NEC, the majority of them don't have this record I have in the struggle. But because they know that we correct the wrong, like the other chap yesterday when we were talking to students in Alexander at Raluhil, he says TAT was the leader of COSAS. I said no. COSAS never existed when TAT was the leader. It was SASM, and we can't change that. COSAS came in 1979.
In
1980 it was launched. Said don't. He says he works for the Department of Gauteng government. It's wrong.
Okay. Last question. Do you have another question? Okay.
Just one more question. So I just like your opinion, and I know that I'm a firm believer that you are outspoken about the ANC, and you say what they're doing wrong, and you tell it like it is. Do you think that South Africa would be different right now if the likes of Steve Biko were alive, Chris Hani were alive?
Let me tell you, Chris Hani, at some stage they wanted to kill him in the ANC. I don't know if you know that. Some people prior to 1967 to Wangis Polilo campaign, he was the person who handed the memorandum to Oliver Tambo to say, we are young, we have trained, and we are languishing in this camps here. Why? No, we want to go and fight. Some leaders of the ANC says, kill this young man. The same history repeated itself. In Angola, the youth of 76 stood up again. They were killed. They, under the pretext that they were mutineers. I can give you the report. I have it. I can give it to you. A camp was created under the pretext that they were arresting people who were sent by the enemy. Most of the June 16 leaders or the youth were languishing in that prison called Cuatro. So, Steve Biko, yes, he would be alive, but I don't think you would see the light today. I want to be very straight honest to you. The media is controlled by the Western civilization. And let me tell you, I always refer to the ANC leaders that are benefiting today. I always refer to them as Kar Geldenis. What is the meaning of Kar Geldenis? Geom a mooi kar. Geom die hees, geom die geld, es zal die werk doen voor jou. That's what they are doing for the colonizers. All of them. They are blocking for the same people who are in England, who are somewhere else, doing the job for them. They are just, you know, I usually say Mandela, what they say, it's democracy. I don't believe in democracy. I define what we call democracy as the demon that is crazy. If you can go back to Marie Antoinette and understand why democracy was defined, when people were hungry, when they were having it nice upstairs, what happened? When somebody says there were people who are shouting for bread, Marie Antoinette says, these people are possessed with a demon that is crazy. I don't believe in democracy. I don't subscribe to democracy. I'm a revolutionary. I believe in change. I believe that what was stolen from us must be brought back to us. What Mandela did, he introduced what we call cosmetic changes. Mandela, what he did in the true sense is that somebody took my land. Mandela says, I must shake hands with that man and make friends with him. I can't do that. until we resolve what was taken from me. Bring back, then we can then talk about how then do we shake hands and we make peace. I have a problem with that. So, Mandela sold us out, I'm still saying it. And his friends, they sold us out. Today, they are custodians of their history, they are custodians of South Africa. If you can look at countries that are mining in South Africa today, that is, people, individuals who are mining, the very same leaders who owned all the minerals of this country. Remember, what was the mandate of 1912? They were mandated by the kings and the chiefs and the ordinary people of South Africa. Go and get the land that has been stolen from us. Restore the dignity of the Africans. It's like sending a child to say, go and buy bread for me. That child comes back from the shop. He sits with his friends. They eat that bread. That's what the ANC leaders did. They did not bring back that land. They did not bring back that bread to the people that sent them to the shop. Instead, they are distributing that bread to themselves. That's why today, your children or your grandchildren will ask you, Mama or Koko, when they are rich like this, but where were you and what were you doing? They sold their soul to the Karelians. Permits, what we call mining permits in South Africa, are owned by these individuals. Exploration rights are owned by these individuals with the very same company. Companies like Anglo-American, all these big conglomerates, you have them as board members, as chairpersons of those executive boards. What? Why? They are supposed to be revolutionaries. We are not supposed to associate themselves with anything that is colonialism. But they sit there as their board. When they resign from parliament, they become chairs of this world. When they are there, look at the deputy president of South Africa today. What is happening? Thank you very much.
We've run out of time, but I want to ask you one last question. Before I let you go, Baba, just one last question. Knowing what you know about what went wrong for the youth movement after 1976, what is the one lesson that you would like today's youth movements remember and learn?
I think they should learn from our mistakes, you know.
And that mistake being?
That mistake of us agreeing to be part of the agenda that was wrong. I'm saying this thing because we have mandated wrong people to lead South Africa. And these are the products of colonialism. These are people who were mentored, who were made by colonialism, and we put them in the forefront. And all of them, that's why the land will never come back. So what we need to do now is to breed a new type, and that type should become revolutionaries who don't subscribe and who think out of the box, who don't subscribe to any of this, who are not attached or emotionally attached to any of colonial history. Because today we are like this. Because we gave all the trust to people who were bought by colonialism. I always say, when they say Amandla, may I say a way no. I don't believe good way to. Because I'm not party to the status quo. All of them. One guy that I was with in Robben Island, he said, show me one leader who is not corrupt. Show me one leader who is not corrupt in the ANC. He says, then I can sign a million check to you. Corruption, what does it mean in our context of Africans? Is that when we send you to go and get what belongs to the people, then you end up taking that thing to yourself. That's corruption. That's how we define corruption. Because you did not do what you were mandated to do.
I get it. I think a conversation for another day. My favorite phrase from today is going to be Kar Geldenis.
Kar Geldenis. CliffCentral.com.